Mention of a mystery religion. This mystery religion is described as arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The Bible often uses symbolic language when we see the mentioning of a woman. And we know that often that a woman is symbolic of a church. You can find that in Ephesians 5, verse 27, and Revelation 19, verse 7. So we can see that many times God's church is described as a woman, without blemish, white, with clean linen, you know, robed in righteousness. But then we see this other mention of a woman who is not robed in righteousness, and she's a contrast to the spiritual church that we're all a part of. It's an unclean church, defiled. It's mentioned oftentimes as a harlot. And so from this basic understanding of Scripture, we're able to understand that this is a clean, there are two different churches being mentioned in the Bible. There are a clean and an unclean church. And we see the mention of the unclean church. We can surmise that the church being mentioned here is what the Bible calls and what God calls Mystery Babylon the Great. And mainstream society doesn't know a lot about what the Scripture is talking about. What is Mystery Babylon the Great? And why is it inspired to be emphasized in the Bible? So today we'll walk through an overview of this mentioning of the Mystery Babylon the Great. In around 1763 BCE, we can see a Babylonian empire arose. It ended around 1612 BC. And we can find steeped in the culture was paganism. It was vastly accelerated and practiced by the Babylonians at that time. And looking all the way back at that time, which was actually right after the flood, we can see a migration of people to the east. The Bible says in Genesis 11, verse 2, that these people migrated to a plain in the land of Shinar. And Shinar is where the city of Babylon was later built. And it would be known as Babylonia, and then later Mesopotamia. And so the locations you can see here is right by the river Tigris and Euphrates. And that's where sediment would be deposited, and it would enable rich crops and provide a sustenance for man and for animals. And so we know that modern Babylon is now located in the country we know of as Iraq. And actually Babylon, as you can see on the chart here, was east, southeast of modern-day Baghdad. One interesting note is this location potentially is in and around where the Garden of Eden was, because the river Euphrates is one of the four rivers that was mentioned in Genesis verse 2. During this time, there was likely a great concentration of animal life in this region because there was so much sustenance, so much food for man and animal. And so it's very likely that animals was an issue in that time for the safety of the people and their families. And in this point in history, we can see in many different sources that cities began to get built a lot more aggressively than they had prior. Cain is mentioned to build one of the first cities, protect and develop his family. But we can see a man during this time frame enter, a man of history and of legend, and this man's name was Nimrod. And Nimrod was a son of Cush, a descendant of Adam, of course. And in Genesis 10, verse 8, the Bible speaks of Nimrod as a mighty one upon the earth. Nimrod's might brought him fame, brought him trust with the people of Babylonia. And so Nimrod, we can see, became a leader of his people. It's likely that Nimrod was instrumental in providing protection from wild animals. He's known as a mighty hunter. And many likely followed Nimrod because he was able to protect the people and to develop the nation. But they also viewed Nimrod as a man who could protect them from God the Father. They thought Nimrod could keep them safe from God. Because they, around that time, everybody knew the flood was real. Everybody didn't think it was some fictitious historical, excerpt. It was fact. They knew that society had been destroyed by a flood, and they didn't want that to happen again. And what if a leader came along who could give them that safety, give them what they're looking for? And so Nimrod's might became strong amongst the people. Nimrod created kingdoms, and he called these kingdoms of different names. You can see it in Genesis 10, verse 10. The kingdoms were Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calais, and in the land of Shinar, as previously mentioned. And so these kingdoms thrived and grew in numbers. And the name Nimrod comes from the word Mered, which also means he rebelled. In fact, when it says that he was mighty before God, it is implying that he was against God. He was against the Lord. And the Jewish Encyclopedia says this concerning Nimrod. It says, quote, "He who made all the peoples rebellious against God," unquote. So this is where we see a great man turn the event of history for mankind, a man that many people don't even know about, the man who made the world we're in. He was the one that rebelled against God after the flood. We also know the story of the Tower of Babel. Nimrod was instrumental in building that tower with the intent to build towards heaven. The Bible notes that the tower is built from brick and asphalt. Asphalt's waterproof. So feasibly he could tell the people that, they could be protected by God from any future flood. So we find that history, legend, mythology, and even the Bible in some cases indicate who this man is. And when he died, when Nimrod died, he was cut into pieces, sent into the four corners of different areas after he was burnt. And we can see these kinds of examples in Scripture, in Judges 19, as well as 1 Samuel. And the intent of such a practice would be to convey a very strong message to all the lands. So some message was given to these lands when he died. We can find, after Nimrod's death, the people greatly missed him. From here, we can find a more accelerated emergence of pagan worship. Nimrod's wife later claimed him to be the sun god. And later, when his wife gave birth to a son, she called him Tammuz and claimed that he was reborn, a reborn Nimrod. And this is where we see the concept of a child and a mother being worshipped, as well as other things. Much of this worship was carried through mysterious symbols, a lot of symbols you might be familiar with. We'll talk about a little bit later. And since Nimrod was a sun god, he was also called Baal. You might know the name Baal. And fire was used as an earthly representation. And so you can find that throughout history, all forms of fire being used as a form of worship, different types of forms. We can also see that the sun god takes on many other images, images of fish, the sun, trees, pillars, and animals. And along with the symbols, we can find that Babylonian had many pagan practices. They appeared not to be placed by man, though. But they intertwined illicit sexual practices, pagan rituals, images, idols. And it really seems that this came from Satan. Man developed it, but it really seems this comes from Satan when you look at the big picture. We all know that Satan is the master of deception. Oftentimes, he's not given the credit due for what he has done to this world. He always provides a counterfeit for whatever the truth is, he will counter. And he might provide several counterfeits, actually. But Satan knew that God would use fire for sacrifice. He knew Jesus Christ would be born of a mother and a father. And so these pagan practices were perfect counterfeits for a future religion and for current religions. And so these counterfeit pagan practices were considered to be a required Babylonian standard. And you can it's reminiscent of Rome. You know, do as the Romans do. Worship all gods. You know, this is what our society does. You should do it as well if you're a part of it. Same thing was happening with Babylonian. They're the ones that invented the concept. So you can be assured that a modern Babylon of the great will, like ancient Babylon, set the cultural and religious standards for end-time political religious empire of the beast power of Revelation. When we look at the book of Revelation, which was written by John, the Babylonian Empire was long forgotten, as is today. I remember sitting on the couch when the first Gulf War broke out, and they showed, you know, there's helicopters, and they showed this caravan of army people going into Iraq. And it was right next to these old Babylonian relics. It intrigued me. I was fairly young then. It intrigued me when I saw that. I thought I should study it. But here you can see American troops in the ancient city of Babylon, some of the remaining ruins that's there. These people likely don't know the history of what they're touching and looking at and how it influences everyone in society today. We know that in prophecy, it was foretold that Babylon would fall, and it did. It fell actually several times. And today, it is as exactly as the Bible prophesied. It's desolate. There's not much there. You can see in Isaiah 3, verse 19, and Jeremiah 51 through 52. It's a good read if you have extra time. But it foretold this physical destruction of the Babylonian Empire. And even though this was a great empire, it was physically destroyed. The Bible also tells us that it never really died. Someday the Babylonian Empire, the mystery religion, will be known as history's greatest deception, the greatest influencer of the false modern religions that we know of today. Babylonian, if you were to summarize it, is known as a system of thought, pagan practices, and a system of idolatry. And from Nimrod's basic rebellion of God, the people rebelled against God. The world, every single human being. And so these concepts were spread across the earth. If you turn to Genesis 11 verse 9, you know, a lot of people have wondered, why are so many of these false religions intertwined? And why is there some truth baked into these false religions? Well, you have to understand that it all came from the same place. Genesis 11, verse 9 says, therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. God knew that if he did not do something about Babel in the Babylonian region, society would progress further and faster than he would like, than his plan required. And so from there, it says, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. It's not just different languages these people brought with them. It was their practices. It was their ideals. It was everything from Babylon. That's why you see different types of religions with similar concepts that are pagan in nature. So God knew the impact of what these people had done, and their rebellion would only accelerate if he didn't do something about it. Centuries later, Paul observed the result of this idolatrous mystery religion. In Romans 1, verse 22, you can turn there, or if you have really good eyesight, I suppose you could read there on the screen. It says, Romans 1, verse 22 says, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Much later in history, we can see that the true Christian church was established. We know the story in New Testament. The gospel of the kingdom of God and the truth was spread. Thankfully, that's why we're here today. Many were believed what the word said and what they were taught. They were baptized. They followed a righteous way of life. And we appreciate that very much. But in parallel, we also see mankind ruling over others, as Nimrod did in Babylon. I'll give you a quote from a book entitled Babylon Mystery Religion by Ralph Woodrow. It says, instead of conquering by spiritual means and by truth, as in the early days, men began to substitute their ideas and their methods. Attempts to merge paganism into Christianity were being made even in the days when our New Testament was being written. For Paul mentioned that mystery of iniquity was already at work and warned that there would come a falling away and some would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, the counterfeit doctrines of pagans. You can reference 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3, 7, 1, and Timothy 4 verse 2. Jude also talks about that time in Jude, where there were, mankind was attempting to substitute things that were not part of the original faith. It says in Jude 1 verse 3, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to continue earnestly for the faith which one once for all delivered to the saints. You know, the truth was delivered to the saints. But something was happening. It says verse 4, for certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see that Christianity, as it was intended by God, was at war with Babylonia paganism that had become reestablished within the Roman Empire. And because of this, we can see a great persecution in the church. Many were tortured and killed for believing the truth that we appreciate and internalize today out of God's word. And so emerging from this persecution, we strangely see Christianity becoming Rome's primary religion. But the Christianity that raised out of this turmoil was not the Christianity that Christ taught. Not the Christianity that Jesus wanted us to follow. It was the Christianity that Rome later declared as the Roman religion. Bishops, leaders, all taught this falsity. And they were given great power over many people. The church was given great power in Rome. So with all of this, a great price was paid, one of which will impact humanity until Christ returned. There were compromises. There was compromises with paganism, idolatry, false teaching, delusion of the truth, and suppression of a true Christian church. And today this church is generally known as mainstream Christianity, mainstream religions, inclusive of the Roman Catholic Church, and also known as the Universal Church. And so these worldly religions will become intertwined as part of a world system. That's what Bible prophecy indicates. And it will infiltrate every facet of religion and politics, if it already hasn't. So Babylon is said to be the mother of all harlots. Well, why would that be? It is the head and the originator of all false churches. It is the mother of Egypt, of Nineveh, of Rome, of Babylonia, and many other modern cities you know of today. From God's perspective, it's the diametric opposite of what his people, what his true church is. It's the diametric opposite of the woman clothed in white. And it is one of the greatest tools Satan has used these past 6,000 years to deceive and manipulate the world scene. According to the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible, it explains the biblical implications of a Babylonian heritage. It says, quote, as the realm of the devil, Babylon is understood as the archetypical head of all entrenched worldly resistance to God. Babylon is an age-long reality, including idolatrous kingdoms as diverse as Sodom, Gomorrah, Egypt, Tyre, Nineveh, and Rome, etc., etc. Babylon, the mother of all harlots, is the great source and reservoir of enmity to God, as well as the objectified product of the one mind, which gives power and authority to false gods. As such, she is the antithesis of the Virgin Bride of Christ, the Holy City, the New Jerusalem, and the Kingdom of God. The exact opposite. So from this Babylonian tradition, we can see that ancient Babylonian mystery religion emerges and survives in many ways, and in many religions and in many beliefs. I'll give you some examples. The examples of modern Babylonian beliefs. Mother and child worship, talked a little bit about that. You can see on the right there, those are 12 different cultures that have idols that depict a mother and a child that is being worshipped. Mary worship, saints, saints' day, and symbols, pagan obelisks, temples and towers, the cross and similar symbols. The Egyptians use a cross. There's a sun cross. Nazis used the cross. It was repurposed. Relics of Romanism. Peter claimed to be the first pope. I don't know if you've been to the Vatican, but there's a statue there of Peter. They say it's Peter. It's not Peter. It's, I believe, the god of Neptune or Saturn. And it was repurposed. Papal office, or a pagan origin. Papal immortality, also the concept of an immortal soul. Popes are infallible, lords over God's heritage. So that means leaders in the church being a master or a lord over people. That's not what God teaches. He teaches to be a servant. An unmarried priesthood. The Mass, misinterpretation of 3 days and three nights. First Friday in the Spring Festival, also known as Easter, and the Winter Festival, which is known as Christmas. All of this is, in essence, the Babylon mystery religion repackaged, refreshed for a modern era. Perfect for somebody to come along and get tricked. These are concepts influence and govern most of modern Christianity today. And also, these similar concepts are found in other modern religions for reasons stated prior. So perhaps one of the greatest deceptions of all deceptions is that mankind believes Babylon is a relic of the past. The truth is, Babylon was taken to every corner of this earth and has been the mystery religion of times past and of today. It is the indirect or direct origin of almost every false religious teaching we can find. The Babylon mystery religion is as strong as it ever has been. Is more alive in the hearts and minds of society than even they themselves realize. Jude also spoke much about this Babylonia empire. If you want to turn to Jude 1, Jude 1, verse 5, it's a reminder. It says, I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. You know, people came out of Egypt and they did not follow God's law, and some of them were killed. Almost probably all of them. Eventually all of them, actually. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode. Remember when Satan took a third of the angels and they rebelled? He's reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, in a similar manner to these having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. It says, likewise, all these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil to dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, daring not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. That's how much integrity Michael, the archangel, has. He wouldn't speak ill of Satan. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Verse 10, but this speaks evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit. Remember Balaam? Remember Baal? And perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So it's important not to forget the history of this world and the people within it. Our society is immersed in the same old traditions, religions, and concepts of the great kingdom of Babylon from long, long ago. If you remember the secret that Daniel gave to Nebuchadnezzar, remember, you know, the dream he had in Daniel 2, verse 31, and it talks about a great image. At the top of that image was a head of gold. It said the image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. And Daniel told him, you're that head. You're the golden head. The great image of the head is none other than Babylon, which is what Nebuchadnezzar ruled. And the head of Babylon the Great, the mother of all harlots. You know, unfortunately, the Israelites forgot about a lot of this. They forgot that we need to learn from the past. You know, during the 40 years of the Israelites in the desert, they carried the tabernacle of God, and we're very thankful for that. But they weren't content with that. They also carried another tabernacle. It was called the Babylonian Tabernacle. You can find that in Amos 5, verse 26, and Acts 7, verse 42. And it shows that they carried these relics from Egypt, which were relics from Babylon. And other times, the Israelites performed secret rites. They built high places, practiced divination and enchantments, caused their children to pass through fire, worshiped the sun, moon, and stars. You can find that in 2 Kings 17, verse 9. So were the Israelites perfect? No. They had Egypt and Babylon intertwined within their minds and hearts. So just like Israel never really left Babylon, the real question is, did you? Because we know that mankind is still immersed in it. And much like the Israelites in Egypt, they lived in physical Egypt, you know. But once they left, they followed the ways of old Egypt. They didn't come out of Egypt as God commanded them to. And as we can look at in Bible prophecy, it tells us that there are two women in the Bible. One will prevail. Only one can survive. And that one is God's people. God's people who are clean, who are well-grounded, who are following God's way of life and have rejected this world, this Babylonian world that we live in. If you turn to Revelation 18, we can see the conclusion of the discussion here with Babylon. And the interesting study, when you study Babylon, Mr. Kennedy and I were talking about this earlier, is it's omnipresent in some sense. There's past, present, and future. And when you're talking about Babylon, there's a lot to think about in how these scriptures have physically come true in some cases and will spiritually and physically come true in the current state and future. But in Revelation 18, verse 21, it depicts what's going to happen to Babylon. It says, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city, Babylon, shall be thrown down and shall not be found any more. And the sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you any more. No craftsman or any craft shall be found in you any more. And the sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you any more. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you any more. And the voice of a bridegroom and a bride shall not be heard in you any more. For your merchants were the great men of the earth. For your sorcery, by your sorcery, all the nations were deceived. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and saints and of all who were slain on the earth. Continuing, this is the good news. Revelation 19, verse 1. It says, after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia. Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the whole earth with her fornication. And he is an avenger on her, the blood of his servants shed by her. So the diametrically opposed woman will be destroyed. The great false mystery religion, which came from Babylon the Great, will be destroyed. One of the greatest tricks Satan has ever performed is deceiving the whole world to believe that Babylon the Great is the way of life we wish to live. Don't be deceived by its wonders, by its system, and by its beliefs. Know what it is. This mysterious, idolatrous religion that we have all around us today can surround and influence us just as it did the Israelites, just as it did God's people throughout time. So spiritually, we must leave Babylon and ensure we are preparing ourselves to be counted worthy for receiving of eternal life.